Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Oh, no.
And this, so now I have to do this. My back's going to be to you the entire time. I hope you're okay with that.
Oh, I am.
Perhaps I'll do this move.
I like that.
Have a boom stand.
I'm going to go with this. I'm not uncomfortable.
Yeah, let him know if he's not.
I wrote my
I'm kind of talking of that.
I wrote my first book this way, actually.
I'm having him take a picture of this, right, if that's all right with you.
Please.
All right.
I like it.
With the sun behind me, it should be a nice silhouette.
Should be great. We'll start in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Should be a great silhouette.
2 minutes. Normally, I run the Leonard Maltin game, but in this particular case,
okay.
Yeah,
I'm getting.
Sam is going to do it, and so that I get to play against you and Kevin,
which is a totally unfair.
I'm not that great at it. I have played like 3 times now, Sam. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I only won once.
Well, and I sort of fixed that last one for you.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
just
nice.
A little bit.
Wow.
Just
way to take away whatever positive
yeah.
he had.
Yeah, I really...
No.
I didn't do it like that.
What I did was I picked movies that have been talked about in the last year on the show.
Yeah,
the
but that doesn't, do,
that doesn't do anything
doesn't
great.
Doesn't do any favors.
That's a huge spot.
That's a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
And I don't. I certainly don't remember stuff that I, you know, have talked about before on the show.
I find that the best content transpires prior to the record button. Actually being
well, that's the thing. Is it's
inadvertent recording going on.
It's like we're doing the opposite of Oprah and all those other shows that have an after show. We do have a pre-show.
Yeah, a pre-show that never makes it to anything.
Yeah,
it's kind of genius.
All right, so
not completely. It's kind of genius.
I've got a bunch of yapping to do here at the top, and then I'll bring you guys into it.
Are you working with like 8-point courier right now, or what, should I not?
Yeah, it's a side dress to talk into. It's the white circle.
See, here you go.
Yeah, like that. You could turn it up.
The white circle.
Yeah, or right above it.
Right above
it. Oh, that's why you put the cans on right away, because you're a professional voiceover artist, so you go right for it.
I want to know what kind of sweet piping you got.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
Does it sound good?
Oh, that's hot.
If you could be like a backup sound engineer for this episode, I'd appreciate it.
Like a rap, hip-hop hype man, I can just repeat every last word in your sentence.
Can you not hear me? Is this not on? I don't understand.
It's a talk.
Can you hear me? Speaking in...
But you're talking so quietly.
No, I'm...
I also think he's kind of blocking you out of his thoughts.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
Can you hear Kevin when he's that far away from that?
Oh, I won't be. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Can we get a runner to the 7-Eleven? How's that
Do you
work?
Need something, really?
No, I do not. I just think
pretty funny, though.
I'd like to get...
Pretty funny that we would have a runner in this room.
I'd like a tikka masala and
between
a
us.
Slurpee.
Now we're running late.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you from the Never Not Funny Studios in the Valley of Los Angeles on May 30th to Ocean's 11, also Memorial Day. So hopefully I won't get a ticket on my car because
same here.
Meters are free on Memorial Day, right?
Got to be.
Yeah, they have to be for the troops.
Yeah.
For the
dead troops.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
For the dead troops.
I know. You got yelled at on Twitter for saying...
God bless the troops.
But you still, like... Well, it's a perfect sentiment for today. It's Memorial Day. Bless the troops. Like, why is that a terrible thing to say?
No, it's
and then,
Twitter.
And then Kevin got yelled at.
I did. There's always going to be an asshole on Twitter to tell you you're a fuck up.
I love that we're already on a tangent. This is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's people get so mad at me.
We're 19 words into
the game.
The last in studio episode, we had Schmoes Noe on, and we talked a lot about movies, yeah. And people were just like in heaven. They were just like orgasmic over, I can't believe you talked about movies.
Yep.
And I was like, relax, I'll talk about movies once I get back from this crazy tangent that we went on. I just got back from Vegas today, and boy, is my slot pulling arm tired. No, I went to the UFC fights, which were awesome, and then I performed at the Louis Anderson Theater, the LAT, over at the Palace Station, and we played the Leonard Maltin game, and Graham Elwood lost to an audience member.
What else is new?
Because he couldn't name, he had six names out of eight. To name a movie that takes place partially in Las Vegas. And Heather Graham was the lowest listed person of the eight. And it takes place all or partially in Vegas.
Could it be The Hangover?
No.
No?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. From longer ago. It was Swingers.
Oh.
But without Jon Favreau and
Vince Vaughn,
he just didn't recognize
it. He didn't get none of the Patrick Van Horn or...
Yeah, he's not a big Patrick Van Horn guy.
Or Alex Desert, none of those did it for him?
No, I almost said when I got to Alex Desert, you know, the blind guy from Becker? I almost said that, but I thought that's too good of a clue.
That's too good.
Yeah, so that was a fun show. And then I've also got shows coming up in... This is crazy how many places I'm going. Sunnyvale, Denver, Ann Arbor, Peoria, Chicago, Des Moines, Omaha, Oklahoma City, Houston, Ventura, California. That'll be a close one for me. Cleveland, Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, Pleasanton, California. All of my dates can be found at douglovesmovies.com. And on June 6th here in Los Angeles at CineFamily, me and a couple friends of mine are going to have microphones in the audience during a screening of Drive Angry.
Ohio's like your swing state.
Come to that.
That's
yeah. I'm going through Ohio just to. It's. I'm going to try to talk a lot of shit about Sarah Palin as I go through Ohio. So that,
love you.
So that if she moves forward,
can you see
into
Russia
the
from
campaign
there?
From Ohio?
Yeah,
I'm going to try. I'm going to Sandusky, Ohio, on my day off to go on all the rides at Cedar Point.
Yes.
Aren't you going to hang out with
them?
Have
you been there?
I did a report on roller coasters in sixth grade, and that's the only reason I know about Sandusky, Ohio. There's like a wicked roller coaster.
Are you going to hang out at Callahan
Auto Parts? You didn't go there and go on it? You just did a report?
No. Unfortunately, my public school education did not afford me the budget to do research on my little roller coaster report.
Excuse me, miss. Can I just get the check?
This is probably like the most chatter I've done with a guest before saying who they are. Like, it'll be listed on iTunes or whatever, so people will know. But still, it's funny that we talked that long before getting to my intro. My guests today...
Get the check.
My guests today are all poker buddies. I've played poker with all these dudes. You all know Sam the Mam Levine.
Oh, man. And, that stick with an asshole.
And, of course, Kevin Pollak, another regular on the show here. And then new to the microphone and having a lot to say before I even introduced him is Ali Najad, who is the voice of NBC Poker.
Yes.
I like to say.
Yes. At least for now. The Department of Justice may have changed all that.
Uh-oh.
What? Because of the changing of the legalities of online poker?
It's not really the changing of legalities, but they definitely put a damper on the biggest investors in the advertising and marketing side of televised poker. So without money, our industry tends to not be partial toward producing the content that we all love and enjoy. At 2 a.m. on NBC.
You mean all those commercials for like poker sites where there really isn't gambling going on?
Right, which is essentially designed to direct you toward the gambling.
Oh.
Yeah. That's
Big
secret. .net, .com, what?
I don't...
My world is shattered right now.
I just, that's the one thing that frustrates me is I do watch like the Heads Up tournament. I watch most weeks of that because I'll be on the road somewhere in a hotel room and I'll just figure out what, you know, what time zone I'm in and when it's going to be on. Mm. But those GoDaddy commercials drive me crazy because you know when you go to GoDaddy, you're not going to see more.
No.
When they
no.
go, you see more or this continues or whatever. No. Like it's always somebody about to take their clothes off and then you go to GoDaddy and that person's not naked.
No. Can I tell you... there are a few other sites where you could see the rest of that.
What do you mean?
The rest of what you wanted to see on GoDaddy.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not that specific lady.
No, no.
But he wants, like, Danica's titties.
Right.
Yeah, I want
to
see
them. You have to go to danicastitties.net.
I've got no use for her other than that.
Do you?
No, I don't really care about her.
Yeah.
I don't care, but I'm just saying that it's weird that they... That no one is stepping forward and going, you can't draw people in by making it look... It's like the... let's take this back to movies. It's like the unrated, you know, or the uncut, uncensored... It was already rated R. Version. What did you not get away with that you're going to actually put back into the movie now?
Well,
it's
and
never anything that makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, like actual Eyes Wide Shut.
Wiener into the have you ever
apple
seen
pie,
that?
Though.
You
Eyes Wide
that.
Shut, they took out all the black bars?
They took out... Well, no, it's digital figures, backs of men and women. Blocking intense sex stuff in the orgy house, and I was so curious that I ordered the Region 2 DVD from England like 10 years ago, and got a Region 3 DVD player.
That must have been like a lonely night when you ordered that.
Oh boy, it was lonely. And
Mom, I can't talk.
And then I
can't talk right now.
It's not even it's so fucking stupid how little they changed. And that was the difference to the ratings board between R and NC-17.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had to do like pound to dollar conversion back then, which was brutal.
It would still to this day.
You're still. Are you? Have you paid that credit card off?
No.
Yet? God.
$17,000 the DVD cost me.
That's the other mystifying thing to me about the ratings board and the process is those people. They'll watch a movie that's like really violent. And they'll say that's too violent. That's NC-17, and then. The filmmakers will go and fix it or take some of the violence out, but they're not told exactly how much to take out. And so they just guess at it. So sometimes this rating board watches the same violent movie 17 times before finally reaching the exact amount of what it can and cannot have.
I think Matt and Trey, when they did the first animated South Park movie, I think they knew that they were going to get hit with NC-17. So the first version they submitted was actually really tame. And then knowing that they were going to go NC-17, they went, okay, and they took the movie back, then put all the shit that they didn't put in it the first time, took out a couple of super tame jokes, handed it, and they went, all right, you did enough to change it. You can have an R now.
Wow.
Just because they knew the ratings board is horseshit. Have you ever seen this film is not yet rated?
Yeah,
the documentary?
Yeah.
Like, it's... disturbing how to actually hear how it goes down. Do you not? It's literally like it's a couple of adults, a couple of parents from the neighborhood.
Yeah,
and you're not allowed to know the identities.
Yeah,
or
they live in Encino.
They live in Encino. They just watch
and
movies
just
and then
watch them.
Debate amongst themselves
but
if that should be R, PG-13.
The sheer volume of movies they're seeing is going to make them a terrible judge of. You know what I mean? Like they're not even outside living any kind of life or knowing what society's up to. If you're just sitting there watching these movies,
they haven't seen outside in 23 years.
Taking it, you know, and just the arbitrary rule of you can't say fuck twice in a PG-13.
Yeah.
And that one reference can't be to actually having sex.
Right.
It has to just be like,
oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck this. And so it's so funny now, too. Every action movie, like Fast Five, Fast Five is PG-13. At one point, The Rock goes, let's get the fuck out of here. Like, but it's one of those things where the camera zooms in. It's like, this is the moment. And they drop the F-bomb, and then it's in a sentence. It's not clever or interesting. It's just like...
They're getting value.
Nice try.
Yeah,
they're trying to get value for it.
In the film I was in, Pulse, which is PG-13, a horror film, I tried so hard to get the fuck line. And they would not let me have it. There's a line.
How do you try? Just slip it into all your dialogues?
Well, no, there's a line I'm supposed to. I think
I gotta go take a fucking shower.
Yeah, I think I'm supposed to say, you know, what the fuck is going on, or the line is what the hell is going on, or what the hell is happening. And almost every take, I just scream, "What the fuck is happening?" And then one time after doing, I don't know, 20 takes of it, the director was like, "Can we try one where you don't say fuck?" It's like, "Yeah, all right." And I did one, "What the hell is happening?" And that's the take they used. We only got one take. Of what the hell is going on.
So who got the fuck in that movie?
Kristen Bell.
Well, she was the lead.
I know. But it was not... I don't think it was used to great effect.
No, I would much rather use the unauthorized version of fuck.
Thank you.
You should have said, what the fuck line is going on here?
Yeah, yeah.
I should
have actually literally said fuck line.
What's the fuck line?
Yeah.
Next time. Pulse 2. Oh, no, wait, they already made that. And 3.
Can I say one of my favorite things about newly hosting a home poker game is that Doug Benson, like it's in quotes, this is the best run home game I've ever been to.
Yeah,
it's now on the poster. It's on the poster now.
Wow.
For the home game.
I'm sure Ali's been through this a lot, but you've played with lots of people who do this sort of thing, but Kevin gets an actual dealer. A competent dealer. I don't think a mistake was made the entire night.
I should pass that along.
Wow, he was there on a good night.
Hey!
Hey!
Sam is so hard.
Yeah, well, you're like...
Sam is so hard.
I'm probably... also, it helped that he was a stranger to me.
Yes.
Like, if I knew him, I would have been more critical.
That's why Sam is critical.
I'm very critical, yeah.
But, well, not more critical, because I really didn't find anything to critique that night. But he brings in a guy and he deals, and then he also has a super annoying friend that won't shut the fuck up.
There are so many.
It's like being
in
commerce.
He won't be there tomorrow night. It's of all nights.
I'm joking around that. It was pretty funny dynamic that there was one guy that was like, and I had met Jason a few times before, and I never thought.
In case there was any question as to who it is.
Yeah. Never thought of him as that kind of guy. Like every other setting I met him in, he wasn't behaving that way.
Oh, no, that's his poker.
Yeah, his poker character.
Yeah. He thinks it's so clever. And everyone knows it's not. I mean, everyone.
That should go up on the poster.
That's how
he should learn that no one thinks it's clever.
I don't want him acknowledged on the poster. That's my problem.
Speaking of
but
posters,
you want him in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Back to
he
movie
loses
talk real quick.
Consistently.
So
he was having a good night that night, too. That probably also made him more obnoxious.
He was stuck when you guys did the Russian roulette thing in the last 45 minutes that made you whole, by the way.
Boy, this is going to be so interesting to your podcast listeners. Hey,
this is the poker episode, so we have to talk about it a little bit.
I understand. But speaking of posters, a couple weeks back, I think during the first week of the Tournament of Championships, someone had a Jaws poster or something.
They had a box, like a toy box of a Jaws figure or something, and they put your name on there, and they spelled it with only one M, unfortunately. They don't know how to spell Sam the Man.
Clearly not. Clearly not. But then towards the end of the episode, you were telling them to change it to put Paul's name. You're like, take Sam's name out of there. Put Paul's up. And then Paul was going to go, no, leave it. How dare you? How dare you try to sacrifice my name off of this toy?
He said leave it because it was no honor to have a name on there.
So you're trying to help me?
I'm just saying he was, I mean, in both cases, we were probably both being dicks, but it was all in good fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that was cool that they did that. I forget who the third name was.
I wish I could have seen it.
You and me and somebody else, right? But yeah.
Simon Pegg, maybe?
Maybe. They make name tags now. When I say they, I mean the nice people.
I listen to your podcast.
I don't want to make them sound like a bunch of weird...
I know how it goes.
Weird following fanatics, but the name tags are getting really complicated.
Yeah.
There's people put some work into them. And then last night when we were in Vegas, all these name tags come out, and Graham Elwood picks up a guy that's just holding up his Eagle Scout card.
Nice.
From when he was a kid.
I picked the one who had it on an iPad.
Yeah.
At South by Southwest.
See, I discourage people from doing that because I like it when they,
put a little more work into it.
I feel bad for the people that construct something and then, get...
I always go with the lazy.
They don't get chosen.
Well, then let me put this out there. I promise to pick the most elaborate name tag when I appear on your show in the live.
All right. Well, we're still... I'm not going to appear or not.
Oh, I'm not operating under presumptions.
I guess I'm operating under presumption. I thought I was in the tournament champion.
No, you are. You got in through kind of a, back door.
I know.
You got grandfathered in.
Yeah.
By playing against Leonard Maltin on the Kevin Pollak chat show.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. And what was it you did? You got something?
I got 15 minutes and negative two names.
Nice.
Yeah.
De Niro and
Edward Burns. Oh, yeah. And knowing that De Niro's name would be first, even though, spoiler alert, he dies like a half hour into the fucking movie.
De Niro dies a half hour into it?
Spoiler alert.
I saw that movie. I do not remember him dying.
Maybe it's not a half hour. It's like 45 minutes, but he is not alive for a large portion of that movie.
51 minutes.
Yeah. I bet you he makes it past the first whole hour.
He's in it for 2.5 reels.
Well, he is not the lead. Edward Burns is the lead, but I knew that Len would not list it that way. That was all I was.
That's interesting. I really thought they live. I thought that they were. Aren't they partners in it?
Yeah.
And they. I thought they lived through the whole thing. They're chasing around those two like bald Russian guys.
Look, I've only seen it once.
Where are they from?
I am. I don't know. Yugoslavia? Sure. I only saw it the one time, but I'm fairly certain De Niro gets the axe.
You guys have remarkable retention, because I saw that movie and most of your conversation is completely foreign to me.
Well, and that's how I feel listening to you talking about poker. You're always talking about like an expression I finally think I've figured out is when you talk about the texture of the board.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of expressions like that that like you're like, I'm not smart enough to be able to follow this.
No, you're definitely smart enough.
But I mean,
perhaps you're not committed enough.
That's probably true. That's the difference. Is that's why we remember all this shit from movies, and you remember all.
You got to commit more to your movie
language.
You got to commit more to your movie viewing.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's also. True. But the poker thing's more special. I mean, there's. It's not that special to be someone that goes. I like movies. I go to a lot of them. You know,
except for the people that are listening right now.
A lot of people.
By the way, audience, Doug didn't mean to just trivialize you.
No, actually, we're all in the same boat. You know, like. When I called it Doug Loves Movies, it's just like, well, yeah, who doesn't really?
I just like that Sam satellited in to the Tournament of Champions for those poker aficionados.
Yeah, that's correct.
It was a total satellite move.
Satellited in. Well, you won't have me on. I haven't been able to actually play the Len Maltin game in ages.
You not only play, you both, the two of the times you played against Leonard Maltin, who was shitty at it, so you were in the catbird seat.
I was not. I had bad positioning. I had terrible positioning.
What do you think about the positioning today? Who are you gonna start with? Which way is it gonna rotate?
I don't know. Since Ollie's
you
want to
think about it for a while?
Ollie's new, yeah. Maybe
we'll make him go first.
I feel like I should have the advantage since I'm new.
Do you understand the game? Did you listen to it?
Yes, with Lipnicki and Silverman, I was.
Which is kind of an interesting one for you to listen to because Lipnicki didn't know how to play, and so he kind of needed to be coached through it a little bit more than the guests normally are. So maybe that helped you to learn the gameplay because there's so much of me explaining it to him.
The negative name situation is one that I may have to have explained because I don't think they got into that. I think.
Yeah, negative names is when, you know, you're bidding and somebody bids zero. You can go lower than that. You can go -1, -2. But then you have to name the movie and also then the one or two stars in the proper order.
Got it.
So that's why he was bragging about figuring out that De Niro came before Ed Burns, even though De Niro only lives through an hour and 40 minutes.
Well, so Sam went with the negotiation tactic.
Did I?
Yeah. You knew the agents would be able to negotiate De Niro first billing, whether he's in the movie for 17 minutes or an hour and 7 minutes.
Yes, but Ben Stiller get first billing in the Fokker movies?
I don't know. But even so, Leonard does not always go to the agents.
That's a negotiation point also.
Knowing how Leonard writes the cast list is key to the game.
He does it wrong for Superman.
That's right. He does
Superman, Brando got top billing, but Leonard gave it to Christopher Reeve.
So
sometimes Leonard writes wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
He
does. He writes the legal wrongs.
And how do you know how he's always going to do that?
You don't know how he's always going to do it, but if you know his reviews, if you know the man...
And you've studied them.
I have read the reviews. I've always owned his movie guide. I've always owned some version of his you know giant movie guide, the big book
myself
he puts out
as
every
well.
Year. Yeah,
Sam has a read on Leonard Maltin.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He can't play poker with me.
No,
I know his tells every time.
Yes.
I've got a read on him.
I know when he has nuts.
One of his tells is he's very polite.
Mm-hmm. He's very polite, and he doesn't curse in public.
Ah, it's adorable, and he won't let me call him Len.
I never used to do that either, but now you make me do it, and I feel terrible because I know he really doesn't like it.
He really doesn't like it?
Well, I don't want to say he really doesn't like it, but do you prefer Doug or Douglas?
I certainly wouldn't, if you called me one or the other, say, no, it's only the other one.
But how, if from now on, like if the next time you're on, I don't know, The Tonight Show, and Jay Leno went, hey, it's a really great comedian, Douglas Benson, eh? Wouldn't you
That's
be
all
little...
right. I have an IMDb page from when I used to be credited as Douglas Benson a lot.
Yeah.
And then another one from my real Doug Benson, and then there's also some other Doug Benson who was like a grip on...
Can I give you another heads up?
Lightness of being. What?
Can I give you another heads up on the name?
Yeah.
on A Name to not use.
Yeah.
Do not call Matthew McConaughey Matt.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love this story.
Do you know whose story it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. On the first day of Newton Boys?
Newton Boys.
Yeah.
Richard Linklater.
Uh-huh. Said actor, nameless until you feel otherwise, first day, sees Matthew McConaughey walking across the set, maybe 30 yards away, and says, "Hey, Matt." And McConaughey spun, gave the two-finger gun point gesture, and said, "Name's Matthew, good thing we cut it on the first day." And spun and walked off with no irony or sense of humor whatsoever.
But how can anything that involves the two-finger gunpoint not have irony or humor involved?
Exactly.
You can't possibly take yourself seriously.
I think that really drives home the point.
When firing the finger bullet, right? Yeah. It's
two-handed.
It's hard imagine someone taking themselves seriously doing that.
I haven't seen Lincoln Lawyer, but I hear it's pretty good.
Could it be?
People are saying...
I almost lost a huge...
Leonard gave it 3 stars,
yeah,
I think.
He liked it.
Somebody bet me that the Lincoln Lawyer, I knew nothing about the film, was about a lawyer who practices out of a Lincoln. And knowing nothing else, I almost lost a significant amount of money. I somehow backed off by saying there's not a chance somebody greenlit that. And I just wanted to say there's no way.
It's based on a true story, though.
Yeah. But I was just thinking there's no way that's the premise of the film, is that the guy practices law out of a Lincoln. I thought maybe he's from Nebraska.
No, the premise of the film is that Matt McConaughey is charming and handsome. That's the premise of the film, and that's why it got greenlit. It had nothing to do with
it. His driver of the Lincoln is Morgan Freeman, right?
Let's hope. I'm trying to drive you to the court.
Miss McConaughey?
Shouldn't it be Jessica Tandy?
I got to make water. Good thing we caught that on the first day. Martin McConaughey is kind of Bill Clinton-esque. So let's talk poker movies. NBC's Voice of NBC Poker.
It's a short conversation, isn't it?
They all stink. They all suck.
They're all terrible.
Rounders is the worst of them all because it passes itself off as a good one.
But poker players like it.
Nope. Not real poker players, and I'll tell you why. There's a couple of scenes that are such utter horseshit. One of the reasons some of them might like it is that they themselves are in it. You know, it actually featured legitimate pros.
Yeah, well, the whole Malkovich Oreo tell is the most amazing.
Well, that's truly ridiculous. Almost as ridiculous as his accent. But here's my...
You meet some crazy accents playing poker, though. That was kind of, in a weird way,
but those accents
believable.
Are real, technically.
Well, yeah.
Whereas this acted accent was affectation riddled. There's a lot of reality problems. I just need logic. You know, you can ask for a leap of faith, sure, but I do need logic.
Yeah, that one scene where Matt Damon impresses, who's the older actor?
His teacher? Martin Landau.
When he impresses Martin Landau by knowing what everybody has when he's just walked into the room.
He's been in the room 90 seconds, yeah. And he knows everyone's tell.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's impossible. But here's an even bigger gaffe for me. When they show up at the sheriff's private game, and Edward Norton says, I will absolutely stay in the car,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm not going to go in and... No, it's the other way.
He says, Damon goes in and Ed Norton says, I'm going to go to a bowling alley.
I won't come in a buggy. You're on your own. So Matt Damon goes in and sits down at a sheriff's private game. Ed Norton then decides to show up, deal from the bottom. They get caught... And the sheriffs decide, it being their own private game, it is A-OK to beat the living shit out of these two hustlers, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you are the victim of said beating, are you having a standing-up conversation in the parking lot shortly thereafter?
Yeah.
If sheriffs decide it's ass-kicking time on their own turf, and you've got a trickle of fake blood coming out of the corner of one mouth, and maybe a little bit of blood coming out of another nostril on the other guy, and that's the only damage that the sheriffs did. Go fuck yourself. I mean, that more than your poker gaff is what drove me a little nutty.
Well, I also didn't like the girlfriend that didn't understand, and
Gretchen
Moll. It was the same scene over and over again of just her just being like, stop playing poker and getting in all this trouble, and him going, one more time, baby, and then she leaves him before it's over, and just I don't like it. But when I see on shows like on NBC and the show you used to be on over at Bravo,
bravo.
When I see, they say to poker players, you know, who, what's your favorite poker movie? They say Rounders a lot.
Well, here's why. Because it's Rounders, it's the only movie, it was the first movie to feature Hold'em.
And it's about, it's pretty much the whole story's about it. And they, and isn't Jackie Chan, not Jackie Chan.
Yes. Johnny Chan?
Johnny Chan. Isn't he a pretty prominently figure in it?
Yeah,
as well?
he's not prominent. He is in the story a few times. But
he's like kind of like a Matt Damon's got kind of a problem with him or something.
Let me help you with
but
this.
But Al Amarillo Slim is in California Split.
How did you feel as a comedian when you saw the movie Punchline, which is the best at depicting our world of stand-up,
you know,
where there were lockers in the comedy club lockers for the comedian.
You're right. And the warm, and obviously strippers also find showgirls very entertaining.
And the warm and fuzzy comedy club owner. Are you guys okay? Is everything all right? Do you need anything?
Yeah, and the same nine comedians perform every night.
Sure.
Yeah, and I've auditioned for the Johnny Carson. It's a contest to get on Johnny Carson. I've written a new set this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm going to be doing tonight.
Right. So
this
the
is
real
something I've been working on.
The real poker players feel that way about the Rounders.
Yeah, of course. I'm not a real poker player, and the poker in Rounders is ridiculous.
A lot of the poker players love that a movie about their world was made.
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay,
they love,
especially
that.
The New York Underground.
That's why they bring it up is for lack
was
of anything
real.
Else to
the
bring.
New York Underground poker
still
scene
is.
Was real. Yeah,
it's not at mob
right.
run necessarily anymore.
No, it's
as
a
much,
poker speakeasy like the one here in town. You know, I know of a couple of them actually.
Really?
Next time you're there,
you
let
have
me know.
One in your house.
Well, no, there's no rake.
There's no rake.
No, it's like
legal.
Multiple
legal.
Tables.
No, there's
and
a guy
and
who you rent a condo. You get one or two tables. You hire some gals to massage and get drinks. You serve a little food, or you have a runner to get takeout. Your tiki masala. Yeah. And
hey,
and
why you don't
you
get these
like
massage
crazy? We actually get into masseuse.
Doug's feeling
from
shortchanged.
Game. There'll be a masseuse there next time from Hank's game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's.
I heard Hank's game is fun.
It's what I'm trying to emulate. That is the best game that I've
played. The best
played
game in town, right.
Because it's unbelievably friendly, unbelievably hilarious, and some talented players that make it competitive and fun.
The thing for me about playing in a lot of these home games, because you get invitations all the time. It seems like one's popping up every week, and it's because somebody gets wind of just how much money they're raking out of these games. And I'm talking about the speakeasies, and some people talk about the home games, and it's preposterous how much money these people are making. And they're basically robbing a lot of the players blind, and it's an unfortunate...
They're utterly robbing the players
greed,
blind. Yeah.
You know, and as soon as one guy in the game finally figures it out, he starts his own. So rather than like take umbrage, he's like, oh, sweet racket you got going on here. Let me get involved.
It's like what you used to, quote unquote, supply your friend's pot so that you could smoke for free.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that scam when you're 20 years old and you go, wait a second.
It's a new incarnation.
If I just get a pound of this.
Same format.
Yeah. A pound? My God.
I had a funny Matt Damon story
well,
about Malkovich.
You needed a pound to get stoned.
A pound back then, wow.
As soon as these guys are done, let's get into it.
Yeah. five finger lid. That's how old I am, sir.
At dinner one night, he was, we were at Cafe Martirano at the Rio during the World Series. And,
I'll say.
And it was just embarrassing that they decided that the way that they would be endearing as a restaurant was to put up Matt Damon and Don Cheadle happened to be there as well and Cheadle movies on their plasmas all around the restaurant. Right?
Good
That's
call,
great.
Good
right?
call.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there
everywhere
like,
they
oh,
look,
God.
Their own
yeah,
movies.
Exactly. It's they like, hey, it. Guess who's here?
They love it. It's they don't even need mirrors. They, yeah. they can just go look at the
right.
screen.
Because they're that vain.
Touch their hair.
So they dealt with it well, and you know, it was funny because it spurned this conversation, or spawned, I'm sorry, this conversation about the Rounders film. And Matt was talking about, you know, he was a young actor at the time, and everybody was getting him geared up for when Malkovich was going to come in to shoot his scenes, when they were like, you know, are you ready, Matt? You know, here comes when Malkovich is coming, man. Are you ready for this? It's going to be a big deal, man, you know? And he's like, yeah, I guess I'm ready for it, you know, and Malkovich comes in, and he's ready to shoot his scenes, and I guess he literally had a tape recorder with all of his lines and the accent in which they were supposed to be done
next to him, and he would hit play.
By an actual Russian.
Listen to it, I guess, by a Russian acquaintance of his, or a friend, or maybe just a voice coach.
And a Russian.
Yeah.
Or someone that talks like this.
Yeah.
And he's a very weird person.
Right. And so John... And
don't
so
call
John
me retardo.
John would hit play on this recorder, and then just spit it back out, and obviously there was some butchering in the process.
Kids and with alligator blood.
Right.
And my friend thought he said alligator.
Splashing the pot. It's splashing the pot.
I stick it in you. So everyone on the set is like here and like excited that Malkovich is here and is going to be, you know, basically bestowing upon them the honor of witnessing his acting greatness, and they like get into applause after they cut, you know, the scene. Oh, it was a great job, John. And he leans over to Matt and he goes, I'm a terrible actor. Like that. And it was like he was letting him in on the secret that somehow he has managed to pull the wool over everyone's eyes. I mean, I happen to think he's a good actor, but in this particular film, clearly it was...
When he plays an exasperated version of himself, say in the last... Coen Brothers movie, Burn After Reading, when he plays an exasperated version of a Caucasian male in his 50s, he's brilliant.
Which is a somewhat specific.
When he goes over the like, top and
that's
huge.
What's been driving me crazy about him, though, is not since being John Malkovich, as he had, like, you know, there's certain people that liked Red and some people that liked, what was the one you just mentioned?
Burn After Reading.
But, like, I didn't, not only did I not really care for those movies, I was also very disappointed that Malkovich wasn't more fun in them.
Yeah.
Because it's Malkovich. And because he has been so great in some pretty shitty things and some pretty great things.
You didn't think he was fun in Burn After Reading?
I didn't. I just never. I never get the right rhythm.
Give
for
it one
me.
More chance.
I've seen it like on TV a few times.
His finest work was in the Annie Lennox music video "Walking on Broken Glass." Let's be honest.
The fact that you know he was in that is alarming.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be playing a game. I think
you
that
know,
involves movie trivia.
That's why he can't play.
Oh, thank goodness!
You're off the hook.
Yeah.
Thank God. Also, the game isn't the Leonard Alden music video game.
Right. I just thought everybody in Burn After Reading was not particularly funny. Like, I just felt that we're all just sweating really hard.
Movie.
Everyone was really working hard at playing like we're all so dumb. David Rasha, the guy that used to be Hammer.
Sure. Yeah.
His scenes with J.K. Simmons are, those are the best scenes in the movie.
Because they threw
and
it
the
away.
Last one of them together, I was like, got a big laugh out of me, the last line of it. And then the movie was over. And I was like, totally, it was the most shocking, suddenly this movie's over moment I'd had in a long time.
You'd rather the film just been those two, I sense.
Well, certainly the tone of those scenes was better. But also with comedy, I'm sure you guys are the same way. Like, I just...
Don't
you
lean
know,
into it.
I love things that some people hate, and I hate things that everyone loves. You know, it's like,
even more subjective than drama.
Yeah, it's no so question. Subjective. Yeah. Like, you can't... Anyone who looks at ordinary people and goes, well, that's stupid.
Right.
Like, they just... That's ridiculous. You can look at a great comedy and not, like, I have friends that don't think Some Like It Hot is funny.
Right.
And I can totally understand that.
Sure.
They're wrong, but I understand it. I totally understand where they're coming from, that it's just like a style and a sense that they just don't.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily laugh out loud funny either. And that's another reason why someone would say, oh, that's not funny.
No,
but it's like, just because you're not roaring with laughter doesn't make it a fun movie, you know?
I agree with you.
I like him on Saturday Night Live, by the way.
In the same regard. Yeah.
He's always
you're
great
also.
On that.
So in the same vein of that and relating to what you just said, in the case of Burn After Reading, you two are wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know.
There you go.
Totally fucking with you.
Now,
but
what about...
I just don't... I'm certainly that way with a lot of Coen Brothers movies. Like, I'm sure you liked A Serious Man a lot more than I did.
I was not a fan of that.
Oh,
not
really?
Like that movie.
But,
yeah, I was really put off by it.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Maybe the greatest George Clooney comedic performance ever. Could not get enough of what he chose to do in that character.
He was good. That was his best one of the Coen Brothers.
But that was crazy
movies.
Broad.
I think he can be really funny, but I think that in like Inconceivable Cruelty. Intolerable Cruelty and in Burn After Reading, I thought George Clooney was just sort of like trying too hard and just fumbling around and not really hitting it, but also I appreciate his effort. I appreciate a guy like that making a wacky movie.
I liked him in Leatherheads.
You are a party of one, sir.
It's me.
That movie made $9.
It was to do that kind of movie is not a terrible idea, but that movie was.
Hey, can we talk about current movies like Hangover Part 2?
Let me see if I have any questions written down that I want to make sure we get to.
I'm still trying to figure out why anything's written down. I'm still trying to figure out why anything's written down.
Because I'm a professional. I had to write down all those cities of places I'm going to be.
You wonder how professional he is? He writes down, hey, everybody.
You're one of the few remaining consumers outside of fifth grade that use a pencil. I mean,
it's not a pencil.
Dixon Ticonderoga.
It's all a pen.
Is it really? Writes in pen.
Let's stop that.
Yeah. There's no racing.
He's a big boy.
There's no going back. Are you still
There's
out?
No going back.
He's going after me. Like, the first time you saw this, you did the same thing. You're just like, what is looking crazy?
I'm sorry.
No, it's like,
everybody
it's always,
goes after you
it's
once
always
for that.
New to somebody. Yeah, but the listeners have all heard
They've
it.
They've all heard it. Well, sorry.
Okay. They've all been through it already.
I don't plan on a re-invite, so I'm sorry. I figured I'd go down with the burning ship.
You're totally, you're going to have to cash out, and you're not allowed in this casino ever again.
No re-invites for you.
But Sam did bring up a good point because I do love talking about current movies on the show. So you saw Hangover 2?
I did see the Hangover Part 2.
And do you want to weigh in with an?
I will weigh in. It is funny. There are laughs. If you loved the first one, you will absolutely like the second one
because it's the same movie.
It is the exact same film.
Yeah, he's a horrible filmmaker. Todd Phillips is a horrible filmmaker.
Like it was to the point where I was like, all right, clearly they knew what they were doing. This must have been hilarious to them as they were making the movie. Like, do you think people will realize that this is the exact same film?
Same plot.
It is down to everything.
Yeah. $105 million opening weekend. The biggest R-rated comedy opening of all time.
5 days is 137.
5 days is 137.
Yeah, that's the record.
Yeah.
You guys got the 5 day already?
The record.
Well,
sorry.
We're not even at the 5th day yet.
Well,
this is Monday.
No, it's projected.
Yeah. But am I the only one that thinks Ken Jeong isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Everyone thinks he's funny. Yeah, you think he's hilarious?
He's very, very funny.
He is.
You could be tired of his riff, but
I used to see him doing stand up quite a bit, and it was always rather amusing because he was, you know, this real doctor.
He was a real doctor kid.
Got up and did stand up, and his act was really silly and goofy, and I always enjoyed seeing him. And then when he started showing up and stuff, I think he's really funny, but I certainly think.
I haven't seen the stand-up, so I should say that. I'm talking about his character and the whole shtick.
But I don't think that his character in The Hangover is the funniest thing he's done. I think everything else he's done has been better than his character in The Hangover. Yeah. That's just the one that stuck with people because he jumped out of a...
I'd like to see him funny on Community. He's very funny on that show.
Much funnier on Community.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to see him there, though.
Again, I'd like to reiterate...
Other things.
I'd like to reiterate, for the record, Todd Phillips, horrible filmmaker. Just god awful.
I tried to just let that one go.
No.
Just try to drop it.
No, I've decided it's too late.
Now, how many of us at this table have played poker with Todd Phillips?
Oh, I haven't done that.
It's one of the reasons that I know he's a scumbag. Because I've played poker with him.
Wow.
Yeah. No, he's an absolute, and by the way, incredibly proud douchebag. Like, loves that he's a douchebag.
Kevin is correct on everything he's saying right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, at least he owns
it. Well, listen, I've got to make he some more than calls owns about
it. He
some,
sells
I guess,
it in the form of a movie.
Episodes. I've got.
What do you got?
I've got a Hangover 2 episode coming up.
Well, you should. And by the way, you know, he's probably. Talking
No, I haven't. I haven't talked to Todd.
You could get him real quick. Just say, hey, do you want to be heard by people? And he'll show up.
Okay.
Tell him we'll have the That's opportunity good. To make fun of you.
What does that
guests?
Say about us?
Well, we're here for a different reason. We're here to be funny, entertaining, and a friend to Doug.
That is correct.
In that order.
Yes. I'm here because the studio is right near the 7-Eleven, and I had to get some milk.
Yes.
So
I
milk?
Happen to be a Taste of India.
I only get my milk
downstairs.
At 7-Eleven.
Doesn't sound like the Jew Sam I know that he gets his milk at a 7-Eleven.
Well.
Does that sound like the Jew Sam you
They
know?
Get it from the back for me. They
No, that
all.
Doesn't sound like...
the $17 milk? Can I get the $17 gallon
get
of milk?
The cheapest milk.
Yeah, I bet.
There was this guy, do you remember...
Larry's
comic?
House of Milk. That's where you get
Do you remember a comic named Al Waxman?
Sure. Absolutely.
Al Waxman used to have a joke. I worked on a cruise ship with him once, and Richard Jenny was also on the cruise. And then for the rest of the week, Richard Jenny and I just kept quoting Waxman. And one of Waxman's jokes was, you know why they call it 7-Eleven? because you have to pay 7 to 11% more than human beings should have to pay.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But human beings is a hilarious thing to have in a punchline. Like, why is this happening to human beings? And then also the 7 to 11%, like, that sounds so cheap to be that concerned.
Let the dogs pay that sort of difference. Human beings should not have to. Jews.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway,
I love Rich Jenny, by the way. I miss him terribly.
Oh, Richard Jenny was brilliant. He was driven.
Yeah.
I never spent a minute with him where he wasn't working on his act.
Mm-hmm. Prolific.
Yeah, prolific, beyond but also annoying sometimes about it.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, like this conversation, we'd never talk about movies unless he's got a bit about movies that he's working on.
Yeah. Last chance for a seat tomorrow night, I just realized. You can't play.
Tomorrow night, no, I'll be gone.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be in Austin, Texas, and I had a great time there, by the way.
We were filled. You had a great time in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I had a great time.
We were filled and someone dropped out, so now we're out.
I love to play, and as soon as it works out again that I'm around, we will definitely do it. It's week two of me not seeing Pirates of the Caribbean.
I've seen that as well.
For Strange Brew.
Seen that?
Yep.
And,
of course you saw it.
I feel good about it. I feel good about
but not
still not
it.
Having seen it. And I also, that's my favorite thing about The Hangover 2, is that it knocked Pirates 4 out of the top spot after only 1 week.
It actually dropped three. It dropped two spots.
Third because of, place. What you call it?
Kung Fu Panda.
Skatoosh.
Yeah. Skatoosh.
Is it bad that I would rather see Kung Fu Panda than either of those other two films, even though I know I will watch the other two?
No, it's not bad at all.
Because I thought the first one was really funny.
I can't wait to see Panda. I love the first one. First one made $660 million worldwide.
Deserved it.
The Kung Fu Panda movie.
Yeah, it was all right. it was okay.
Not a fan, Sam?
It's, you know, it takes a lot to get me to see an animated feature.
Well, I will say that I wouldn't go to the theater, but I was happy to get it in my Netflix.
Don't ever apologize for liking that movie, mister.
No, I'm not apologizing, but I don't go to the theaters that much. I should say that. I'm not a fan. Perhaps I was traumatized by my local theaters growing up and people throwing things at the screen and yelling and being disruptive in the Bay Area.
I'm from the Bay Area.
Wait a minute.
Where was this happening? Oakland?
Berkeley.
Ah.
At the UA on Shattuck.
Sure you weren't closer to Oakland?
No, I was at the UA on Shattuck.
Berkeley move, to be honest.
No, Berkeley High kids, you know, coming in. And
throwing shit.
Yeah, they were being loud and obnoxious. And
really?
The popcorn thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, with movie ticket prices, you know, just going up and up and up and up, it's like, I'd rather just sit at home, watch it on my big screen, and just be good, you know?
Yeah, I
certainly
would.
You like how I drop
big screen? Way.
I love going to the movie theater.
I like going
really?
To, but that's
love
why
it.
We have the ArcLight, is because then it's, you know, there might be some young people there, but it's not like
the Landmark's
obnoxious
pretty great.
Crowd.
Landmark Theater and West Side Pavilion.
Have you guys gone to the Gold Class Cinema Place
Absolutely.
In Pasadena?
Yes.
Is it worth it?
If you have money to set on fire, it's about the best way to see. It's your own private screening room, basically.
Really?
I mean, it's $30 a pop, but and it's got a real menu with real food.
Right.
And
is booze. The food good?
You can drink booze while you're watching the movie.
Which is key.
And the food's really good. But, you know, you're in a giant recliner seat as if you were flying first class to New Zealand. It's
That's
that
awesome.
Kind of a crazy thing.
And how many seats are in a theater?
16, maybe. Maybe 20.
Can you use miles? Can you upgrade into a first class seat?
Actually, yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I want to be at, like, the silver class screening, and then maybe I can
you
just
You can only use New Zealand Air.
And go up.
And then when the movie's over, what city are you in?
Well, that's what I want to know.
Does it fly?
Depends on what you
Does
went to see.
Does the gold class cinema fly?
Yeah, 30 bucks, I'm going to go through that experience.
$30 instead of 14 or 12, whatever
But does
it is
that
now?
Get you anything included, or it's just the ticket to the movie
no,
is
that's,
30?
No, that's for the privilege of sitting with only 20 other people and in the first class seat to New Zealand.
I'd like to try
that reclines and a pillow and a blanket.
I would like to try
Not
it.
Kidding. So when the movie stinks, you could actually catch it like an hour and a half sleep.
But it's not. They don't have D-box seats like at the Chinese.
No, they don't.
Those
they don't have
crazy.
The moving box
those
seats.
Are insane.
Those are
insane.
What? It's like aggravating.
Speaking of which, the new Star
Wars. Doesn't even match up sometimes.
They're programmed. Yeah, they try to program it, but they seats that move and shake and rumble and
along
bounce.
With the film.
Synchronized
along
to the film.
The
Speaking of which, Doug.
Yeah.
I have a quick review from my better half, Jamie, who went to a special sneak of the new Star Tours
at Disney,
right at Disneyland.
Right, it's already open in Orlando, I think.
It opens June 3rd. It is truly spectacular. 54 different versions exist, as opposed to the same one that forever that was horrible. They actually built in.
I like the old one first.
50. Oh God, are awful.
This was a fun ride.
Yeah, when it first came out,
first
it was
seven
great.
Times, 20 years ago.
Yeah,
what are we talking about?
But it's still the motion of it was still pretty amazing.
Oh, the one now is going to blow your mind. The one now is going to blow your mind.
Has she or you or both been on the Wizarding World of Harry Potter ride in Orlando?
I have not. I can't speak for her.
She might
but
have.
But I've never
she might have.
Seen one of those movies.
Oh, so. My God. Well, it doesn't matter. It's a ride where you're kind of sitting in like in a sort of a doom buggy Disney kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then they combine actual mechanical things nice. With footage. And then you move in such a way, like during the part where you're like where Harry's flying around playing Quidditch. It's like you're flying around with him.
Wow.
And it's really well done. It's the best. I think it's the best like indoor dark ride I've ever been on.
Far out.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to checking out the new Star Tours. I just, you know, I've already heard that Jar Jar makes an appearance. Like, it's
not
just
in
like,
everyone.
He's just rubbing it in for the rest of our lives. He's going to like, see, I'm not wrong because this is still popular, even though I've ruined it.
Yeah, no. There's a lot. There's 54 different versions that you may encounter.
Right. Well, that's what they said about the Indiana Jones ride.
And the Jar Jar's
like,
not
I
everyone.
Just didn't go right by the bugs. I went over near the.
This segment of Doug Loves Movies is brought to you by the Disney Corporation.
Yeah.
I wonder, is there any way I can get the last 3 minutes of my life back? Or are they gone now? They're just gone?
You can send them an invoice.
Now, when people say that, do you think they ever. How pleasantly surprised would you be if I could get you those 3 minutes back?
I would be really impressed.
And how is that not a movie yet?
That is an obnoxious thing to ask for, something that I cannot help you with.
I cannot
get you those 3 minutes back.
Are you sure?
And yet you still bring it up.
Well, what if we were to put a value on the last 3 minutes of Sam's life?
Yeah.
I think that's a more interesting conversation.
Well, it would take just a few moments to calculate that. Based on the rest of his life and what he's done with it.
Now you hang on right there. You hang on right there. Are we converting these to masturbation minutes? Because that, I believe, is what I've spent the bulk of my life doing.
The highest value
yes.
you're talking about?
Yeah.
All right, Sam, let's play the Leonard
Moe.
We've come full circle. We're going to go out on the masturbation joke.
This is exciting. All right, so I think we are going to start with Ollie over here.
I just want to say really quickly that... recently, I played one category in this game
mm-hmm.
on the Doug Loves Movies that mm-hmm. we taped in L.A., and then I screwed up and played the same category in Philadelphia, and Graham Elwood got caught in this weird position of, like, kind of, you know, already knowing what the answer might be, and he just sort of played along instead of saying, Doug, you fucked up, we've already done this
wow.
one. Yeah, so
advantage
apologies.
Play. Graham Elwood?
Yeah, exactly. So apologies to at Bacon Eggs and Cheese. Bacon Egg and Cheese, that was it's his name on Twitter. And no, Bacon Egg and Cheese, I won't fly you out to LA for a rematch. That's what he asked for on Twitter. I'm giving him an apology.
You're not going to fly him out to LA. It's not like a real game show.
Yeah.
Where...
Even if he can find his own way out to LA, he doesn't need it. I'll be back in Philadelphia. I had a great time there.
Yeah.
And we'll do another one. And
maybe next time he'll get chosen again. You can give him a free drink on the house. On me. How about that? On me.
A free drink at my show?
Yeah.
Okay.
On me.
All right.
Come see
me
with
that out. Yeah.
Because I feel bad for him.
I'll come after that money from you.
Okay, great.
Can I get those 2 minutes back?
What are the odds Sam remembers the commitment when all of a sudden a bill for one drink shows up?
That'll be the price of his 3 minutes.
That's right. Okay, here we go.
Welcome to Time Swap, the game show where people want their minutes back.
You have to answer this correctly to get 3 minutes back.
Oh, shit. How great would that's a good
that's
sci-fi
a good game.
Movie like game. Like in the future, they can give you a little time back if you win. I like it.
Ooh, I call. Wow. Copyright. Copyright it.
You got that one?
Okay. So now you know how the game is played.
I heard Libnicki going through the paces.
I'm not certain that I listened to the best incarnation of the game to be educated on it, but I am going to give it a noble and valiant effort.
Okay. Well, today, May 30th,
yes.
is Stephen Tobolowsky's birthday, who is an upcoming guest on Kevin Pollak's chat show.
Oh, nice.
Sunday the 5th of June.
That's right.
This very weekend.
So if you're listening to this the day it plops on Friday, you've only got two more days to wait before... Yeah.
If you're listening to it Monday, it's already happened.
It's already happened.
And you can just go get it and enjoy it right now.
You know what else you could go get? The previous week's show, Christopher Guest.
For reals.
What an episode that was.
May 29th.
That's an amazing guest.
It was, for me personally, it was quite the get.
Mm. All right.
Okay,
so Stephen Tobolowsky films. Or tomorrow, Clint Eastwood's birthday. So we've got Clint Eastwood movies. Or
Category we almost got to last time, a little bit. Baseball movies.
Ooh.
So, Tabalowski, Clint Eastwood, or baseball movies.
Now, is there a way for me to ask for the best recommendation that would handicap my opponents? Can I get a spot? What do you think these two know?
No, you can't.
It is an even playing
field. You have
today.
To, I'd say, go more for what you think you know than what you think we don't know.
Yeah.
I would say baseball movies.
All right. Would you like a baseball movie from 1993, 2004, or 2005?
Let's go with 05.
All right. 2005. Len gave this one 3 stars. He called it appealing and said, the writers paint a believable picture, and the stars couldn't be more likable. You've got 9 names.
I feel like I misplayed. I should have said 93.
No late for that.
Well, I'm hosting. Sometimes I let people go back, but Sam is very strict.
No, sorry.
Sam's strict?
Sorry.
Because I feel like I already know what 93 was.
Well, then, you know, what you need to do is wait until you get to choose the category again, hope baseball movies comes up again, and then pick it. Because right now you're stuck
All right, I already have 2005.
Okay.
So there are 9 names.
Yep.
Names I think I can do it in. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The clues again, one more time.
From the bottom
3 stars,
up.
Appealing, the writers paint a believable picture, and the stars couldn't be more likable.
Stars.
Hands off iPhones. I'm just checking.
Wow. Not even an offer.
This is an honor game, sir.
A good opening bid would say 9 names or something, but you could.
Yeah, you got 9 names.
Kind of like the liar's dice, but.
It is.
It's going to. It may not come back around to me.
It may not.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what Doug is recommending me to do as far as a bid is concerned is probably what I shouldn't do.
No, he's usually pretty fair with that.
Just, I'll say 8 names.
All right. Kevin, we're going to go to you next.
7 names.
Mm-hmm. I'll say 6.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to miss
I feel like I misplayed now because 5 is getting called by Pollock. If I bid 5.
Don't know that.
Wow. Nice work, poker face.
Yeah.
Poker face.
Finally.
And you said you could do it in 6.
Been waiting for walking the whole episode.
Yeah, you can either bid 5 or fewer. Name that movie to Doug.
I want to say name that movie to Doug.
All right, you're going to get 6 names.
Six names.
And my
it's
confidence,
baseball, so you
my
were,
confidence
you were
level
smart to pick baseball.
In you is high.
Going down.
This. My confidence level in you is high with 6 names.
All right, I don't need your confidence
here we go.
Level.
Here we go.
I don't need to look even dumber I'm going to get it.
I like to put as much pressure on you as possible on your own show. Here we go.
All right.
Marisa Janet Winokur.
Okay.
K.D. Strickland. Iona Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Helmuth, Willie Garson, and Joe Beth Williams. Those are your 6 names.
Oh, if only you could see the look on Doug's face right now.
He's in pain.
Awesome. It's,
ladies and gentlemen, he's in big, big pain. Oh, like a brain freeze
hands,
from really cold ice cream.
Ripping his eyes.
Thank God I didn't say 5.
Yeah, dead man walking.
Dead man walking.
Dead man walking. Wow.
Was this limited release?
So the last 2 names are...
Joe Beth Williams.
Joe Beth Williams?
No, no, I mean, I'm saying after Joe Beth Williams.
Oh.
Well, there's 3 after.
There's 3 more?
After. It was 9 total.
So maybe like the little kid and then the mother and then the guy.
Nice. Nicely done, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right in there. You're right in the pocket. You were flying this.
Give me the names again.
Okay. Marisa Janet Winokur, uh-huh. K.D. Strickland, Iona Sky, Evan Helmuth, Willie Garson, Joe Beth Williams.
First of all, it's a Willie Garson movie that's not Sex in the City.
I know.
So that narrows the field remarkably.
Right there. That's insane right there, because I can't think of any other... He was great on NYPD Blue. I've played poker with him, actually.
Willie. He's a fine poker
Willie.
Player.
Yeah. Three stars from Len, huh?
Yeah,
give me the clues
this.
Again.
Appealing, the writers paint a believable picture, and the stars couldn't be more likable.
Stars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is going to be wrong, I think, but I'm just going to throw it out there just because it's just what I'm focused on. All the right. Rookie?
No, that is incorrect. Kevin, you would like to venture a guess?
I was raising my hand because I won that round.
Oh.
You won, yeah, but you don't know what it is.
Very well. Actually, you did not win that round.
Ollie won that round. Yeah. He forced Doug to name that movie.
Name it, yeah.
I
just, you know, I laid out there, and I just wanted to see whether or not there was some strange warp that happened.
All right, give us another
can you name
the
movie? I will give you another name.
I cannot name that movie.
James B. Sicking. Psyching. Psyching?
Oh, for the love of the game?
No. And this next name will give it away.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy that James B. Sicking.
And also the fact that this next name
person.
Is not the first name is a little weird.
Okay.
Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, Fever Pitch.
Yeah.
Why is it weird?
Because Drew Barrymore was a much bigger star
first
at that
of all,
time.
We're 2005. No, I understand. I understand she's a much bigger star, but arguably he is the lead of the film.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but still, she, you know,
I
she
don't
got
think
the
you understand
there.
How billing works, Sam.
No, I understand. I'm saying I'm surprised at Leonard, since he usually
who
writes.
Who got top billing in music and lyrics? Hugh Grant or
music?
Drew Barrymore? Drew Barrymore.
He got you there.
The music. Wow.
Jason Antoon. You still have my favorite joke about that, by the way.
Fever
which is based
pitch.
On the trailers for Music and Lyrics.
I don't think of people watching baseball as being a movie about baseball.
I'm sorry. That is absolutely a baseball movie.
Yeah, it is.
All right, well, point goes to Ollie. Oh, by the way, to finish that joke.
I never would have thought of it, though, you know.
I know. Well, that's why it's a hard category.
Well, once Fallon dropped, everybody knew it, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only way that
well, because
would
it takes...
dumber is if you found out the lead characters' names were Music and Lyrics. I love that joke.
It takes 3 minutes to go through the... No, sorry, 3 seconds to go through the Jimmy Fallon filmography.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. It's a limited IMDb.
Taxi or Almost Famous, and you're done.
And seen.
And by the way, Willie Garson has been in a ton of the Farrelly Brothers movies, guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's name them now.
Kingpin?
He probably plays
Something
a handicapped
Mary?
Person in The Ringer.
I'm sure. I think he's in The Ringer. I don't know about handicap.
He's good at that. Like on NYPD Blue, he played kind of a mentally unstable dude, and he was mm-hmm. good. He had a nice arc.
Okay.
Let's continue the game,
shall we? Moves to you, Capo.
Extra long episode.
Yeah, this is crazy. Here you go. You can choose from Clint Eastwood films.
Mm.
I'll give you baseball movies a second time. And you can also take...
It's all the same categories again.
No, just different. All right. I'll give you two different categories. I'll give you Clint Eastwood in theaters now. Mm. A very popular category.
Yes.
Or since this category was so popular last time, a slight twist on it, movies my dad likes.
Your dad?
My dad, Harris Levine. Movies my mom likes was a very popular category last time.
I'm sure it was, but I'm going to go movies in theaters now.
Okay, in theaters now. Would you like a movie from now, or now? That joke was so good last time, I went right to it again.
I'm going
to
go not now.
Okay. Here we go.
Mm.
Okay. As you know, Leonard does not give stars to the movies that are in theaters now, so I cannot give you how many stars. But about this film, he says, there are light moments, but the film runs out of steam far too early, and he wishes the movie were better.
Hmm.
And there are seven names.
I can name it in seven.
All right. Strong bid. Douglas? Light moments, but the film runs out of steam far too early. He wishes the movie was better.
Whispering gives things more gravity.
Were better, I think is the proper grammar there.
What was the second one of those three things?
But the film runs out of steam far too early.
That's most bad.
I'll go six names.
I think I'm going to have you name that movie again, Doug.
Wow. Let's do like it. Give me him.
So you
give
are
him.
Getting
give
every,
him.
He's getting
give
every
him.
Seven.
Six names. Let's go.
He's getting every name
Come
but
on.
The lead
give
of
me,
film.
Yeah, give me him. Let's
Hang
do
on.
It.
Imagine if we did the last movie.
You work on this.
And you got up to the second to the last name.
Okay, here we go.
You were stuck, though, because I was
six out of seven names are Christopher Jordan Wallace.
No help.
Glenn Howerton. Michael Pena. Stephen Root, Laura Dern, and Rebecca Hall. You are only missing the lead of the film.
That's in theaters
yes.
now?
It is in theaters right now.
Love it.
We can go see it this afternoon.
He's just that close.
That close.
It's a little tiny film. That's why.
Oh, the befuddled look.
That's why you're going to get 2 points.
You know the film. Yeah, when you say in theaters now, you mean like 5 theaters.
That's in this case. Yeah.
No. This movie is accessible
in theater
to
theater
right
now.
Is
how
the
many,
category
how many screen
in theater
things?
Now?
Several hundred. Absolutely. Several hundred.
He said several hundred like he was going to say several thousand.
No, it's
no,
not
no,
like
several
it's in
hundred.
20 theaters.
not like it's only in art house cinemas.
It is. If it's in a couple of hundred, then it's a limited release.
It is a limited release, yeah. But it's not like a tiny release. It's not like Human Centipede.
There's no within. No one within.
Hey, don't you say anything bad about Human
Centipede. I'm not. I'm just saying it was only open. Like, you could have seen it in three theaters across the country.
Yeah.
You could not find someone within 72 blocks that can give you the name of this movie.
That's a lot of blocks.
72.
Apparently, you can give it.
Nope.
You can't.
I just know of it. Because Stephen Root was on the show and spoke about it.
Right.
But you do not know the name of
the film. It's certainly not something I've seen.
No, of course not.
But, you know, it's fine. It's just, for me, the in theaters now category is like, you know, massive releases. Like
I'm
going
to tell you the last name, and you're going to know
the name. I don't think I'm going to know the name. I really don't. I think
it's
something.
Has he officially waved the white flag?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't.
Sammy, no one knows the name of this movie.
I think you're wrong.
The fact that you think you knew the name of this movie before you read it on your iPhone is not fair.
Give me the cast again.
Okay. Christopher Jordan Wallace, Glenn Howerton, Michael Pena, Stephen Root, Laura Dern, Rebecca Hall.
My point has just been made. With all those names, five of which, if they're in a movie, you know about it. The last, the two through six are all names. Even Glenn Howerton, you would know a film he was in. If, in fact, the name of the film were known.
Yeah, I even think, I'll even go so far as to say, I think I saw Rebecca Hall in, I mean, I know I saw Rebecca Hall in a pizza place at South by Southwest because they were showing this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and I still can't tell you what it's called because it...
Well, it is not my fault that you...
No, I mean, I just, it's not a real movie that just, the point of this category is like, you've seen TV advertisements.
Is there partial TV credit?
No way.
100% I've seen TV advertisements, and 100% I've seen several of the stars of this feature all over the late night circuit.
No way.
No.
I haven't seen any of them. Laura Dern hasn't been on anything lately.
Most of these people couldn't get on a talk show if their publicist paid the talk show.
Wow.
Yeah, Glenn Howerton.
You know what? This is sad. Their shitty movie skills at this game, they are attacking me.
What's the name of this movie that nobody's heard of? Like, no one listening to this is going to know the answer right now.
I bet Belknap knows.
Of course he doesn't.
Okay, the last name is Will Ferrell.
Oh, Everything Must Go.
Okay. Oh, Everything Must Go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you
Will
guys
Will Ferrell's
the
only one on that
cast.
List that's done a talk show supporting the film.
Yeah,
he's the only
for
one.
Sure. Maybe, yeah.
Not even
I don't
Rebecca
think
Hall.
Anybody else, but it's been really low on the radar. But, that, you know, it's that's,
well,
that's how
sorry,
the game
this
works.
This is a
I tried
podcast.
To tell, I tried to tell, he was he thought he would lose for sure today going up against me and Kevin.
Is it in poor taste? Like,
position is everything.
Is it in poor taste, though, to put Doug to the test on his own podcast about movies?
I'm sure his listeners loved what just happened.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Doug has... And once again, we are running a perfect record on this, by the way. Every time I host the show, it only takes the minimum amount of movies to crown
right,
a
winner. Ends right away because,
it ends right away.
Because, yeah, because you pick obscure stuff than I pick.
Fever Pitch?
Yeah.
Really?
Fever Pitch. Who's ever thinking about or talking about
I
Fever Pitch?
I pick more obscure stuff than you do.
It was like, that movie should have been the most amazing baseball movie ever. They managed to catch and actually film when the fucking Cubs actually fucking won the series.
I think you mean the Red Sox.
Or whoever it was amazing that they happened to be filming when that happened.
I would like your podcast listeners to let me know on Twitter how many of them know the movie The Falcon and the Snowman. How many of them actually know that movie?
That's a movie, yeah.
But you don't pick obscure movies.
Sam's carrying some baggage into this week's
episode.
Yeah,
where did Falcon and the Snowman come up?
A couple months ago, I don't know.
I
don't
remember
I
what the beef
show.
Is.
The last time I did it with against Leonard.
Listen.
And that was a movie you picked? Or I picked.
You picked that I had to guess.
Shy of this coming.
Yeah, and that movie starred two of the biggest stars of that time.
Uh-huh.
And you pick the date. If you pick a date, a movie that's that old.
Yeah, I understand.
But that movie was much bigger than Everything Must Go will ever be.
This is correct.
And
and also the impression that it will leave on the American psyche.
That you guys can't lose gracefully.
But nobody that was listening to this show knew the answer before you said Will Ferrell.
Okay,
not
I would
a single
like
person.
Podcast listeners, please find me on Twitter at Sam
well,
Levine.
People can write to you and go, well, I knew it.
Yeah. I want them. No, I would be
people
honest.
People love to play it
be
that
honest.
Way.
Be honest.
I would
honest.
Love to know. You're asking people on the internet to be honest.
I'm taking a chance.
people
a chance.
Who write
internet
from
people.
The world of Anonymous.
There's going to be a ton of hot girls answering to this.
Sam, you did a great job as usual. Like I've already read on the internet, people compliment you because you actually pick
out all the clues ahead of time, and I just sort of scan the review.
Oh, no, he's much better at it than you are.
Yeah, yeah, sure. For sure. For like, sure. You definitely run a tighter game, but you also, you know, it's a little tougher. You got to do it your way.
It's a little tougher.
Well, I don't know if tougher is the right word for it. You want to play one more just to see what happens?
Sure, we should.
I mean, it's your turn. You should have a subject.
And Doug, tougher's not it. You're right. Tougher's not the word. Oh, he plays it a little more unfair.
Wow.
I do have that, like, I have that impulse every time I'm doing setting up in theaters now is I'll be like, oh, I'll put win-win in there. And then I'll think, oh, you know what? You know, especially when we go out on the road and play with people from the audience, right. Win-win's not in every city in the country.
Well, I'm not playing with strangers in an audience. I know you know who you're playing with, star.
But, and I've also
I know you know all your movies. I didn't know Ollie was going to be here today, and he seems like a movie guy. I write the game. I prepare the game for people who I know movies.
And let's be honest, he admitted at least 17 minutes ago that he plays mostly with himself.
He did admit that.
That came up.
Yeah. I spent the bulk of my life doing that.
That was our segue, actually, into the Leonard Maltin.
I don't even know what we're arguing about anymore. My point is just this.
You get a subject. You get a subject.
In theaters now, 1,000 theaters minimum.
Minimum.
Okay. Before it gets into that category.
If you tell Sam that, he will deliver.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Now I know
Sam delivers.
Sam, the man, is my pizza man.
Would you wager, Doug, that Everything Must Go is in... under or over 1,000 theaters?
Under.
Oh, way under.
Without way under.
It's about 330 tops.
What do you think?
Does somebody want to look it up?
I'm looking it up.
Did you already look it up?
There he goes.
No, I have not looked it up. I just feel like with the amount of contention.
I'll tell you what. You pick the over under, and I'll tell you how much action you can
get. I'll tell you theaters. It's not playing out in Los Angeles right now. It's not at the ArcLight. It's not at the ArcLight. I'm the host. I'm the host, you guys. I'm the host.
Sorry, we forgot.
It's not at the ArcLight. It's not at the Grove. It's not. I was just looking at movie theaters today. It's not playing fucking. I wouldn't be surprised if Everything Must Go isn't playing in Los Angeles today. I would not be surprised.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong. This is a major metropolitan.
Because it was at the ArcLight, I think, when it opened, and it's not there now.
As of last week, Everything Must Go was playing in 245 theaters.
You're welcome. Wow.
I knew it was under
300. All except the line at 300.
Okay, and for the record,
I knew it was under 300.
Let's set the record straight, you guys.
The King's Speech currently showing in 18.
Are you kidding me? When the Academy Award last year?
Yeah, it's that stupid PG version.
That version of the movie is showing in 18 theaters.
PG-13 version where they took the F-bombs out.
How is that relevant?
I'm saying that there's a
see, there's a hugely famous movie that's only in 18 theaters. That was
hugely famous a year ago. Win-win, a movie you just referenced, is only playing in 124.
Yeah, and I think I brought it up as like that's not enough theaters to use in the in-theaters.
Okay, does Woody Allen have a movie out right now?
Yeah, it's called Something About Paris.
Yeah.
Playing in Paris.
17 theaters.
Which is the other thing I thought that you were throwing at me with Everything Must Go. I knew it was something that was like not in a lot of theaters, but I just, you know, this game is more like it's for the newer players to have a chance at
Now that I know
like
for the in theaters now, you require 1,000 screen minimum.
What were your other two movies for in theaters now?
Bridesmaids.
Okay.
And The Beaver.
Okay, see, Beaver's borderline.
Oh.
Because it ended up kind of coming out not getting as much attention as it even deserved. Because it's not a terrible
movie.
But
hey, I want to give you a chance to pick from a category, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Before we conclude here. So you can go with Clint Eastwood movies, movies my dad likes, or 420 Birthday Crispin Glover.
Can I just say Beaver is maybe the greatest film title in history? the opposite of that.
It's
very misleading.
Misleading. It's just horrible.
Yeah, it's just a terrible title. They could have called it a million things. It's like
Shoe Polish.
Yeah.
I go see that before I see a movie called Beaver.
Mel Gibson and Shoe Polish. Well, doesn't sound like something racist isn't about to happen.
Most films named The Beaver require like a costume and a
he's
CD.
He's on his way there.
Well, he's got his hand in the puppet, but they never even call. I don't even think they barely even say the word beaver, and it's never like in the movie itself. It's never the joke is never that the word beaver is salacious.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
so it's like Space Oddity.
So they should just call it like.
Where they never mention the title.
They should just call it The Puppet or something, you know. Like,
we start that list with that.
And it's not a terrible movie.
I saw
that girl Jennifer Lawrence is in it. She's great.
I saw a clip of Jodie Foster doing something that was very intense and dramatic in that film.
Oh yeah. I thought he was going to make like a pinball machine reference.
No.
And
no,
Dr. Lecter. Dr. Lecter.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's a dial tone, idiot. You're in the FBI and you're yelling into a phone that you can hear a dial tone. Dr. Lecter.
I don't think there is a dial tone. He doesn't hang the phone up. He puts it on top of the receiver.
He's got you.
But there's just it's just silent.
Well, silent is not a dial
tone. No, it does a dial tone. It does a dial tone.
There's a distinctive... it's always pissed me off, actually, in movies how when someone hangs up on the other end, the person on the first end hears a dial tone. That does not happen
since 1978.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did happen at one point, but yeah.
Right, but I mean, it just hasn't happened in too long now that can't be the thing that keeps happening in movies.
Mama told me
Well, you know that Silence of the Lambs was from 3 decades ago, right?
1991?
So, 2.5?
20?
20, yeah, 2 decades, but you might have over there a little bit into the third decade.
You're dodging.
Can I just interject one thing, please? Mm-hmm. Mama say, mama say, mama makusha. That's all I've got for you.
Oh, you're not gonna open up the envelope and finish the joke?
Turk, okay. You want to do
I'm
this
sorry.
Category?
That Crispin Glover category.
No, so you're
or the, what's the other
movies
ones?
My dad likes or Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood's in it or directed it or could be either.
He stars,
oh, wait a minute.
He's in one of these features. He's in all of these features.
I'll go Clint Eastwood.
All right. Would you like a Clint Eastwood movie from 1979, 1993, or 2002?
2002.
Right. Oh.
Here we go.
He's a favorite with this one, I think.
Here we go. Lynn gave this one 2.5 stars. And he said Eastwood has never been more relaxed on screen, and this movie fits him like a glove. And it's got a perfunctory finale. I just wanted to say that word, perfunctory.
I'll go zero names.
There are seven names, but you're going zero.
Yeah.
All right. I would have gone zero, too.
Now, Ollie, if you feel... You're feeling saucy. Doug knows where I'm going with this.
I could say -1
name. You could say -1 name. But of course, you'd also have to know the name of the film.
Yeah, the name of the film and someone other than Clint Eastwood.
Is that
who's
true?
In it.
Is it negative
no,
one?
If you
just,
well, it might
one,
be. He might be the lead. Right? You know, you might be giving it away.
He's not the lead. You know, there is that possibility.
Wait, so when you say -1, you must provide
the movie title as
no,
well.
No, the movie title obviously
and number one
and
on the
number
call
one
sheet.
On the
and number one on the billing.
Right.
Which Leonard may not have billed Clint.
Now that's been established right. That Leonard likes to screw a little bit with the rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll say it one more time.
I honestly can't think of a Clint Eastwood movie in the past
for those
two or three decades that he was not the top billed actor on.
Mama say, mama say, mama makusha.
Wow, this is a tough spot. I guess, you know...
Here's the good news. You've
I could
already
be wrong.
Won the game.
I've already
wrong.
Won the game,
yeah,
and I
won.
Should provide Doug with an opportunity... At redemption,
mm-hmm.
it's if for that, no other reason because redemptive. Of the it's not that redemptive.
Nah.
Yeah, but I don't
gracious.
Think it is either.
Certainly not that gracious.
I'm not fishing for graciousness, but I will ask Doug for the third time in this show to name that movie.
Okay,
all right, buddy.
Zero names
and zero names,
and it's from
2002.
No, when you bid zero, I mean, yeah. You're supposed to have something on the tip of your tongue.
I did have something, but now it feels like that's too long ago for what I'm thinking.
Uh-oh.
Give me it all again.
Eastwood has never been more relaxed on screen, and this movie fits him like a glove. And it's got a perfunctory finale. It's not the movie you're thinking of.
Really? How do you know what he's thinking of?
Because I know how he plays.
You think he's thinking of Unforgiven?
No.
It's not Gran Torino.
Oh my God!
Because that's too long ago, right?
Too long.
Are you
ago?
Kidding? Gran Torino was like ago. A week ago. Gran Torino.
Compared to it, yeah, yeah. Right.
He means 2002 is too long ago.
Yeah. No, I knew that's the wrong year, but that describes that movie.
Wow.
Do you think you know what it is?
I might. Kevin, do you think you know what it is?
Oh, so it's...
Yes.
Bridges of Madison County?
No.
That fit in pretty good, right?
It's like 95.
It's like an old photographer. At least
three.
I'm in the ballpark.
I won all three.
I won all 3 points.
I think I might have said blood work.
That is your winner.
That's it, really? I never would have said that in a million
Blood Work?
Years.
Yeah. But I didn't bid minus one and Blood Work because I wasn't sure if Clint would get the top billing. But I should have thought to myself, who else would? Yeah. But I didn't want to take a chance.
Who's in it? Who's second billing?
Especially after the Maltin conversation.
Give me second billing. Or billing. Second.
The female. Hillary Swank.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's a $1 million.
Oh, sorry.
Which, by the way, was my signals school crossed. Special to me.
Who was the girl in that? Was it Rene Russo?
What the fuck is Blood Work?
No,
it was
It's actually.
Oh wait, Renee Russo.
I think it deserved more than that.
Renee Russo.
She was in Line of Fire. Yeah,
I've never heard of Blood Work. How is that possible? I'll lend it to you. It's a good movie.
Who's the lady in it?
Angelica Houston.
Oh,
really?
I've never heard of it even more.
Really?
And the other dude, Jeff Daniels. Now I've totally never heard of it.
Yeah, it's really a forgettable thing.
Well, at least it wasn't.
Glad that I had an opportunity to say Blood Work before the answer was given away because I was starting to feel like I'm just calling whoever's before me in the game.
Absolute power.
Okay.
Just write it down there.
I'm going to save those other categories.
Yeah, that's so funny that my year knowledge is so horrible that Gran Torino has the most perfunctory. That's good. Most perfunctory ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he, you know.
Yeah. No, I saw it. I don't know about that though.
When he falls down on the ground like in a cross position, it's like pretty. Maybe perfunctory is not the right word.
That movie
for
didn't
it.
Do it. As
Can
much
I tell you what movie I've
liked.
Heard of before Blood Work? Hitler's Jolly Birthday. I heard of that movie before I heard of a film called
that's with,
Blood Work.
That's with Vince Vaughn.
Uh-huh. Oh, man.
What the fuck is Blood Work?
It's a real thing.
I remember it.
Wasn't bad.
He made movies like Clint Eastwood was sort of like Woody Allen as an actor writer. I mean, I don't know if Clint Eastwood has written much, but director.
Mm-hmm.
Did he write Bird though? He wrote one of them, he writes the music for a lot
of them.
You just
went back to the '80s, but yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Clint Eastwood was pounding him out for
prolific.
A while there.
He's absolutely prolific.
Like, what was the one where? There was another one where there was like a murderer on the loose and people were seeing him in their dreams.
Yeah,
or something.
That one's called son of a
Dream Work.
Wow. But yeah,
Blood Splot.
Anyway, and then there was Absolute Power. He was
Absolute
in that.
Power, yeah, I mentioned
and
that.
Then he just was, you know, he was churning out some pretty generic stuff there for a while.
But I haven't seen most of them. But Blood Work never even heard of. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Blood Work is based on a Michael Connelly novel, as well as Lincoln Lawyer, also based on a Michael Connelly novel.
Thank you for that.
That's why Matt Belknap,
I will never read Michael Connelly,
is my homeboy.
Nicely done.
This is a bad question to ask because I know it, but I'm being lazy. The author that in The Line of Fire and all the Harrison Ford.
Patterson? Is that Patterson?
No. The
the Harrison Ford
guy. Huge, yeah. The Harrison Ford character.
Clancy.
Yeah.
Patriot Games.
Right. I feel like this was sort of in that vein of like Eastwood did a few. It wasn't like government, but Blood Work.
CSI-ish. Blood Work was kind of CSI before CSI. Yeah, right. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like Angelina was like his young partner or something, right? Or the girl in the lab.
Angelina.
I challenge you.
What
did I say?
No.
Angelica. I mean that, Angelica.
Angelica. Yeah.
Oh, what
the
is she
bone
play?
Collector.
Yeah. She played Angelica. Played like his love interest.
Partner.
His mother.
Partner.
Partner. Yeah.
All was of the she above. The ugly witch?
Yeah, hang on, I'm gonna get the full. I'm gonna get the full cast list here.
I did not remember her in that film.
She was Dr. Bonnie Fox. Is who she played. Oh, she more de Jesus.
Was she more believable than her work co-starring with Doug in Captain EO?
Yes.
Okay.
She totally
Paul Rodriguez was in this film, Blood Work, by the way.
Paul Rodriguez?
That might have been a good giveaway name.
Or,
you know what's a great...
He was like the lab technician. He was the lab technician, wasn't he? Like the sort of... I've got a sense of humor while I'm breaking down
something
DNA.
Something happened to Paul Rodriguez, by the way?
Yes, he's still writing A Million to One, too.
Two.
that is a film that was made.
What are you talking about?
The movie A Million to One. Do you not know this feature?
I'm somewhat familiar with
Starring
it. I'm going to see it right after Everything Paul Must Rodriguez. Go and Blood Work.
I loved him in that Ted Danson movie.
Here's the interesting thing about this episode here today.
I remember that.
Is that it's so much harder for me to get control and attention focused on what I want to say here when we're just four of us in a room than it is in front of an audience.
Yeah. It's because you don't have the crowd on your side.
Oh, Matt's on my side. He's on the side of wrapping this shit up for one thing.
He's lost weight. He's no longer a crowd.
Yeah.
Matt never had that weight. But I wrote it down so that I could still say the thing I wanted to say. It must have been 5 minutes ago.
Wow.
That I definitely like back.
Good.
I'll trade you the 3 minutes you want back for that 5 minutes I just spent.
Deal. Speaking of weight loss, Doug, now you've lost weight.
Not really.
Not really?
No, I'm hovering.
When you came to the poker game, Jamie and I both thought, he's lost weight. Because
I hadn't
seen you in a while.
I dressed better for it, probably.
If you insist.
Maybe a haircut helped.
All right.
But here's a great Clint Eastwood movie from that, he was making a ton of movies, period, mm-hmm. Sam.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And the giveaway name, we'll see if you can just get this. The giveaway name would be when you get to Jim Carrey.
The Deadpool.
Got you there.
Nice. Come on. Nicely done.
Thank you very much.
I was drawing dead there.
Nailage. Total nailage. But that was like, I think a lot of filmmakers do that. They like the fourth or fifth build character is some comedian that they just pluck from
Barry Levinson has a stand-up
world.
In almost every one of his films.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Dennis Leary Wag the Dog, Dennis Miller in Indecent Proposal.
What did Dennis Miller do in Indecent Proposal?
He played like someone that worked with Demi Moore in the
yeah, because I can't picture
office.
Him ever interacting with Robert Redford.
No, I'm serious.
He's in it, but
well, look at the.
I'm sorry, not Indecent Proposal because Barry Levinson didn't direct that. It was the. The movie where Demi
with
Moore,
Michael Douglas, yeah. Disclosure.
Yeah.
Disclosure.
Even in the case of, it was disclosure.
Look it up.
Even in the case
sure? Disclosure
of Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam, he's also got Robert Wool. I mean to say, because I was one of them, a comedian being cast in the movie Avalon. I know this for a fact because Barry and Craig T. Nelson were a stand-up comedy team.
Yeah, Douglas
in the
Demi
late
'60s. How about, what's it, what I just say? The Informant.
Love that movie.
That movie
loved?
Is loved. Shock
That's a great example.
Full.
I stand alone.
Lots
love.
Of stand-up comedians.
Love
Worst
that movie.
Worst use of stand-up comedians in a motion picture ever.
Why? Because they're all serious. They all get to be dramatic
exactly
actors.
Why.
No, but it's
but
not.
They're not being dramatic either. It's just a bunch of people talking. It's like, it was like.
Oh, I like that movie a lot.
Love that.
I'm really
glad you guys loved it. How many awards did it win?
Getting good nominations.
I know.
Getting good nominations.
Winning awards and nominations is not what discerns good and great films.
I'm just saying that's the sort of defense that
Matt Damon's
would cling to when they don't like something.
Matt Damon's work in the film was a revelation in terms of performances.
He was
nominated.
He's very good. And the device of hearing everything that he's thinking is a fantastic device. And I'd love to see that in a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah. But to me, I almost brought it up when we were talking about Burn After Reading.
Didn't he get nominated for Invictus?
I think
came out the same year.
Yeah.
And he was so much more interesting. And
yeah, he was great in it. But also, listeners that have been around for a while have already heard me gripe about this. He did not need to gain a pound for that movie.
No one would have known.
Didn't make a difference. Right. And also, just him, like the day after that movie wrapped, he looked great again and was like, oh, I got that weight off. That was rough. You know, like he immediately like had another movie to do where he wasn't, because he hasn't looked that way consecutively.
I lost 6 pounds for movies. This podcast, by the way.
You did?
I did.
Those are 6 pounds you can definitely get back.
It's called Haagen-Dazs. By the way, how did the Ben and Jerry's go out of business at the Century 15, Westfield Century City Mall? Did you go to that mall at all? There was a Ben and Jerry's right below the escalator to the movie theater.
Oh, yeah. It's
that
gone?
Ben and Jerry's gone. How does a Ben and Jerry's go out of business in the mall?
Because
Has this ever happened in history?
Because we're in L.A. and it's the health food movement and people realize that that's just calorie bomb.
Do you live
bomb.
In Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Because I don't. Subscribe to that. I think the people are loud about going to Whole Foods, but there's a lot more Ralph's than there are Whole Foods.
But Ralph's isn't necessarily unhealthy. You can walk out of Ralph's healthy. You just walk out of it on more of a budget.
Yes, but
Ralph's is a local.
I mean, Ben and Jerry's
in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah,
but at a mall.
One of our other sponsors.
Have you heard my Whole Foods the slogan that they should use?
Please,
Whole Foods for your food hole.
Nice.
We got to wrap it up, you guys.
Please. This is so long. You always do the longest
episode.
Can we
please wrap this up?
I'm here in studio with you. I don't know how that happens.
Well, one way that it happens is go back and listen to some of the tangents you took us on.
I was defending my choices. That was the tangent.
No, I mean just now. Just when I wanted to say this Jim Carrey thing, you guys were talking about something. I couldn't even tell you what it was. That's why I don't need those minutes back, is because I didn't really waste them to begin with. I was doing other things. I was planning the rest of my day, thinking about going downstairs for some sushi if anybody's interested.
You know, I've got a Korean hungry. Barbecue in a couple hours.
Really?
I do.
Where?
Like going Which to one? A place? Or?
Yes.
Really?
What's it called?
Why not do your own Korean barbecue on Memorial Day? Sorry, go ahead.
It is Memorial Day. That's right.
Yeah.
No. I did a bit of a barbecue for my crew after the show last night, which mm-hmm. was a lot of fun, throwing on some ribs and chicken sausage good. And whatnot.
So you've done
the Korean barbecue. I need to be in a restaurant. Yeah.
And where are we
what's
going?
What's the name of this restaurant? No one's going to like
stalk. Oh, that's right. It would have been in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I drive. It's W H A R O. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it.
W
H A R O.
Sam is so angry right now.
No, I just.
What's transpiring?
No, now you can't go back there.
Sam, you're invited.
Don't make little Wolverine
Again,
angry.
2 days in a row, you burn me like this.
I thought it just now happened. I got a text from Jamie saying, "Tell Sam he can come."
Yeah, she said Lil Wolverine is invited.
I'm looking to that.
Tell him
to the ma'am.
Tell him he can't eat with his adamantium claws, though.
Yeah. But he can cook with them.
You're never going to get to this outro.
No, I'll do it. I'll totally do it. I think it's fun. And honestly, people all the time say we love it when an episode is super long.
Yeah.
You know, in this case, they might not so much. But
yeah,
but a lot of times.
No one ever listens to this in one sitting. I can tell you from experience of doing 2 hours.
Well, unless
podcasts,
it's like a long drive or something.
That is the only case. Yeah. So the
or a
minority.
Flight. Yeah. I listened to 5 episodes back to back on a flight from New York to L.A.
And the people sitting around you must have been driven crazy by you yelling out answers the whole time.
Laughing.
Yeah, so
it's
angry.
It's the obscenely loud laughter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you listen to 5 episodes of this and not the chat show?
I'm on the chat show.
You don't
show.
Listen to the chat
I'm,
show.
I'm
yeah,
there
and also,
when it
he
happens.
Is there. That's true. So that's also a good point. But I've
never seen an episode. There are 113 of them, and I've never watched
one.
Yeah.
Well, you know how long they are.
Exactly.
I watch all the ones I'm not there for, so I don't miss anything.
You listen to one coming back from Atlantic City. Doug, you were saying.
Oh, thank you to my guests.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Sam the Ma'am did it again.
Thanks, buddy.
He really did.
Another great Leonard Maltin game where I have to spend the whole time telling you how I would do it.
Yeah,
yes, and the beginner's luck, all 3 points went to
But he does Ali. Do it better. Mm-hmm. And and Ali Najad is our winner.
Like, far and away.
Didn't have to
do
name
I get
a single
too
movie?
Bad you didn't go negative. Yeah. You should have gone negative on blood work because
it had to have been
you could have gotten into the
right?
next tournament of championships.
Oh, if I went negative,
did,
I could have done it.
He did call it out though prior to it being listed.
Yeah, he did.
So
know
that
it.
Was
it wasn't
so like partial credit for that. You know, the only reason I didn't is because the Maltin discussion about how sometimes he does weird things with the billing.
To
I
be fair,
just,
that's more of a rarity.
That threw me for a loop. Okay, so but I was thrown for a loop, and I didn't want to lose.
Also,
based
if
on
you
that.
Know the film and the conversation prior, you're not allowed that excuse.
I'm not.
You know that, yeah, you based on the conversation, there's no chance Eastwood doesn't get first billing in this movie. There's no chance.
I definitely.
Who's going next? Angelica Houston?
Yeah, it's never happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember who got top billing in Batman and Robin?
Wait for it. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's correct.
Good one.
Thank you.
Clooney was not a made man yet.
Nope. Still earning his stripes. Earning those bat nipples.
Oh, my God. That movie.
Did you tell him what I won?
It's amazing.
You did not win that.
Oh. I thought I won it.
You won the honor.
That's a future prize.
That's a future prize.
Yeah, there's no.
I tried to re-gift it.
There's no prize.
Away from Sam and to you.
All you win today is bragging rights.
Okay.
Well, if you fill the 9th seat in my game tomorrow night, you can have one.
I just might take you up on that
just
offer.
To get the DVD.
Oh my God! You got to play poker
show
with
up,
this guy.
Lose $1,000, huh? Take the DVD.
You
got
to play poker with him.
Which one of us are you?
I'm not going to take that long
you.
For every decision.
No,
that
no,
that was
no.
a one-time deal against
no,
you.
No, but also I'm just saying you're a fun person to play poker with. There's,
oh, good.
There's a lot of like, you know, jumping up from the table and running around during a decision.
No, there's not.
Wow.
Don't believe anything
you were out
you
of
hear.
Your seat and running around the table. No, I was not.
Wow.
Yeah, that is erroneous on all counts.
No, yeah, you were really... is that possible? But you know what I mean? You also
at
do this.
A home
I
was game? Flustered.
You do this a lot. You're like up in your chair thinking and moving around.
In
and
a
like,
home game? No.
No. But I will say this. The times at which I want to play in a home game are when I know it's going to be entertaining. Yeah. I don't need to go sit and be a shark with a bunch of other people who are taking it overly seriously. That's not fun for me. No one's gonna.
I like to split the difference. I like it to be, and that's what was great about Kevin's games. It was fun. Everyone was joking around, but they're trying. But there was a dealer keeping it moving, and everybody wanted to win and was serious about.
But yeah, no one's dunking off.
No one's gonna just be like, oh, don't worry about it. If like you know, if some hand gets messed up.
But that doesn't come at the expense of being entertained, which is for sure a rule of mine.
The point of having the game is that it's fun.
Good.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I was coming by to make a little dough.
And I usually win. That's the other point.
Oh, yeah.
You always win, really?
Not always. I lost.
Depends who the dealer is.
Once. He's lost one. I lost 1 out of 10.
Was that one really bad, though? Did you go way deep?
It was the first game, and I went way deep, yeah.
Wow. It's exciting.
This is if you had any listeners still with us, they are long gone.
The iPod batteries have run out.
This is a fun. You want people to write to, what do you want people to say to you
at
on Twitter?
Sam Levine.
Yeah, what do they want S-A-M-M, you to say?
L-E-V-I-E.
What do they want you to
I
want to
know
defend?
If any of them knew Everything Must Go.
I don't think anybody
before I got
it.
To Will Ferrell.
No way.
And I don't know what else. What else was the I don't know, go back and
there's
re-listen
some other
to it, whatever
bone
I want.
Of contention.
If anyone should call Matthew McConaughey Matt. Also, let me know if Matthew McConaughey has ever allowed anyone to call him Matt without yelling at them.
And you know, what I'd like people to do is go on Twitter and just type to me the names of the two shitheads at the end of the show to prove that you listened to the entire thing. See if there's anybody.
Wow.
Can't
that
you
not only
forward?
Listen to the entire thing and then also, well, they could, but why would they fast forward if before they hear me saying this challenge?
Yeah, it's got you there.
Yeah,
sure.
There's only a couple seconds left after, unless you guys have other things you want to talk
about.
No,
please. I got to get out of here.
Don't forget, you can get premium $2 episodes that are super long like this one of Douglas Movies and the Benson Interruption in the Comedy Albums section of iTunes or at astrecords.com/DLM. And don't forget that I'm going to be showing Drive Angry at CineFamily in Los Angeles on June 6th, and I'll have some special guests there with me to interrupt it. One more time for my guests today, Kevin Pollak, Ali Najad, voice of NBC Poker, and the beloved Lil Wolverine, Sam the Ma'am.
Thank you very much.
And as always, Rene Russo is a shithead. And Joe Beth Williams is a shithead.
Oh, I love it.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug